This morning, I'm excited. We're going to be taking this week and the next, and we're going to be talking about the topic of one thing. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to go ahead and turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to be in verses 12 through 14. I know this year for many of us has been incredibly difficult. Some of us, as we make a recap of our lives and of our year, things did not go as planned. Let me ask you a question this morning. Did anybody's life go exactly as planned this year? I want to see it, because I want to talk to you after the service and what's your keen idea of how to make that happen. I know there's been some ups and downs in even my life, nothing too dramatic, so to speak. I've had some spiritual highs, I've had some spiritual very lows. Anybody been there? There's been some times that I've been incredibly disappointed with the outcome of the things that take place in my life. There's been times that I've been angry with God. There's been times I've been discouraged. There's been times that I've cried out to God wondering why things did not go the way that I had been praying for. For some of us, we've been displaced from the tornado that came through. For some of us, we have just lost loved ones. And it's those times in our life that we struggle. And it's those times that will continue to hit us day after day, because a new year really just means another day. You know, I am thankful that God did create hours and minutes and days and months and years, because if you could think about this, can you imagine if your day never ended? I mean, talk about a hopeless time. I mean, at least now we're like, well, you know, after today, or maybe tomorrow will be a little bit better. And for some of us, we're just hoping that 2018 is much better than 2017. But my question to you and I, for those who are in Christ Jesus, His Word says that we are now a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. It means the old has passed away. So why do we continue to struggle for those who are in Christ Jesus? Why do we get depressed? Because some of us this morning, we are right there. We're at the end of our ropes and we're struggling and we're looking for hope and we're looking for peace. For some of us, it's financial. For some of us, it's a physical problem. For some of us, it's an emotional problem. For some of us, it's a connection with someone else, and we continue to struggle. But how can you and I, this morning, as we look at a new year, and some of you are thinking, oh, it's another new year resolution time. No, we're not going to do that this morning, but I am going to encourage you, I'm going to challenge you from God's Word to make some changes, to make some choices, to do some things that you've never done before. Why is it so many of us come to the end of one year with the same baggage we carried in the year before? We come to the end of the year and we are no further along in our spiritual lives, our social lives, our physical lives, our vocational lives, and we were the year before. The date changes, but the destination hasn't. We are still stuck in the same place. There's a psychologist from the professor of the Florida State University. He did a study about this, and he came up with basically two reasons why people fail at moving past their current situation. Here's the first thing that he said. The things that we are wanting to change or move away from or move towards are too general. So here's what he's saying. You know, I wish my life was different. Anybody ever said that before? You know, I want to change my life, and that's kind of our goal, is just to change our life. He says, you know, it's too general. The second thing he says, there are too many irons in the fire. I know that's not happening to any of you, especially during this time of year that we have our hands and we have our time in so many things, that we are so spread thin that even those who are in Christ Jesus, we struggle. We struggle. This morning, Paul has something to say about this. And again, if you've got your Bibles, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 3. The verses will be on the screen here. We're going to be in verses 12 through 14. We're going to read this together and just take just a few minutes just to unpack this. So if you've got your Bibles, read that from there. If not, it'll be on the screen for you. It says this: not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you. God, I pray that your Spirit would speak this morning. God, please empty me. May my words edify the body of Christ this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that we would walk away from this place in just a few minutes, God, just encouraged. God, I'm fire for you, desiring, Lord, to put our lives in your hands. God, speak this morning. Father, we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul, we know him as probably one of the greatest men to ever live. His life was not always hunky-dory as we sometimes think. You see, Paul was writing this scripture from the dungeons of Rome. Paul was in prison. And I can imagine that was probably not one thing that he was desiring for that year, was to be thrown in prison because of his walk with God. And as he's writing this, he's writing this to the church of Philippi, and they're struggling, and they're desiring to follow God, but they're having a hard time. There's stumbling blocks, and there's all of these things. So Paul's desire is, man, I want to write you a letter because God is faithful. God is good, and I want to write to you, and I want to encourage you with the Word of God because it has the life-changing power to work in and through us. And so as Paul was writing this, we see here in verse 12, it says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal." If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Paul is having a time of divine discontentment. You're thinking, whoa, 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 discontentment? He is having a time of divine discontentment, and it is showing his spiritual maturity in this situation. Here's what happened to us many times. Many times in our lives, we feel like we get to a certain point where we want to celebrate. Man, I have finally obtained this. Man, I've come to church every single Sunday this year. Have you noticed? I've had to move chairs a couple times because that person took my chair. Many times in our life, we feel like that we have obtained our walk with God, that we have come to a point where we can settle. Paul, one of the greatest men who ever followed after Jesus, he says, "I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet." And I want you to know this because there will never be a time till we come into glory where we have obtained that in our lives. Paul is having some divine discontentment in his life. He's admitting that he has not arrived. Even Paul doesn't have it all together. Maybe you're thinking, "Brandon, that's me this morning. I've been hoping to put my life together for many years now. I've been hoping to do this. I've been hoping to change this situation. I've been hoping to rekindle this relationship. I've been hoping to finally get this job, this promotion that I've desired. I've been working so hard for." Paul says there's always room to grow. You see, the second thing he says in verse 13, he says, "Forget what is behind you." Verse 13, it says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it." He says, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind." You see, the first thing that you and I need to do to enter into this 2018 season is to put the old behind us. You see, Paul had learned a tremendous lesson. You can't focus on where you are going until you forget where you've been. You see, if Satan can get me, if Satan can get you to dwell on your past, can get you to dwell on the shortcomings in our life. He can make us neutralize in our walk with God. He can basically take us out of the game, because what happens so many times in my life, and I've shared this before, I struggle many times with my emotions. I struggle many times when Satan attacks me and he lets me know how awful I am, or how terrible that sermon was, or people don't like you. Anybody else struggle with that? And I do many times take that on many times, and I can easily spiral into a place where I'm like, God, I want to get out of the race. I want to quit this. And maybe that's where you are right now. You see, Satan attacks in that way, and he wants us to believe the lies, because if he can neutralize us, we will not be effective for building the kingdom of God. And so Paul, he's saying, man, I understand. I get it. I'm there myself. I have not obtained this. But he says we must forget what is behind. When you read this passage, you realize that Paul is he's a sports enthusiast. All the time he's using sport themes or whatever it is. I think we would have got along pretty well if we lived the same. Anyway, never mind. But specifically, he's talking about a race here in this scripture. And he talks about straining forward. He talks about pressing on. He talks about going towards a goal and reaching for a prize. And those are all racing terms. I remember when I was an underclassman, this was a long time ago, where I'm really living the glory days, okay? So just go with me for a second. I remember I was an underclassman, and it was the state meet, and I was running the 400 meters, all right? And I got in the blocks, and there was all these other guys there, and I got out, and I was running as fast as I could, and I remember I got on the home stretch. And have you ever heard the term where the bear jumps on your back? You know what I'm talking about? Maybe if you're a racer, you understand that. And the bear and his whole family were on my back, all right? And I was struggling. I was straining with every ounce. If I can just get to that finish line. I mean, I was focused. And I was hurting. I was hurting so bad, but I was so focused. I'm thinking, all this training, I'm like, this is finally it. And I get closer and I get closer, and my eyes are on that finish line. And I'm straining towards, because I want the prize. And as I get within a few feet of the finish line, I stretch forward a little too much. Maybe you've seen, you know, where the racers, they kind of lean forward for the tape, all right? Don't do that on a 400-meter run. Bad idea, because your legs can't keep up. And as I strained for the finish line, I'm not going to tell you where I ended up, okay? I fell right across that finish line, and I cut myself all up. I mean, this was before the time of nice rubber tracks, okay? I mean, this was nice pavement. And I had some scars to prove it, even from today. But I remember in that moment, I was striving. I mean, everything that I could give it. I wanted to win. By the way, I didn't win. I wasn't even close to winning. But I was straining towards the prize. Here's the thing. I could go back and look at that race and think, man, I should have got out of the blocks faster. You know, at the 100-meter mark, man, if I'd have pushed a little bit further, if I'd have set my pace a little bit better, you know, I might have had a chance to pull this thing off. You see, at the end of the race, none of that really mattered at all. Nobody cared. I didn't go around gloating. Yeah, but I was in second place at the 200-meter mark. Nobody cared. All they cared about is I was all broken at the finish line. You see, many times our life is that way. For some of us, we can't get past the past, and we are so ineffective in our walk with God because Satan is winning the battle in your life. We have believed the lie. And some of us are living in the past. We're still living the glory days, and we talk about what God has done in our life. It was 10, 15, 20 years ago. Let me ask you something this morning. What has God done new in your life this week? What has God done new in your life this year? What is God going to do new in your life in 2018? Because some of us, and we're vicariously living through our kids. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody have kids playing athletics? I've been to ball games where mom and dad are fighting over t-ball games because you know what? When they were in t-ball, man, they hit it out of the park. Nobody cares how good you were when you were 7 years old, all right? But it happens to us so we get so emotionally driven into these situations and these things, and they are not the one thing that are important in our lives. We get so spread thin so much, we forget the calling of God in our lives. You see, Paul says, forgetting what is behind. And I don't want you to misunderstand this word forget, because it doesn't mean fail to remember. There is no way you can ever totally erase the past from your memory. The word forget literally means to not be influenced or affected by. So what Paul is saying is those mistakes that you've made, first of all, been there, done that as well. I'm right there with you. He goes, do not allow those things in your life from running the race that God has set before you. And he says, don't worry about what the woman's doing or the man's doing in lane 6 or lane 7 or lane 1. You run your race. So just like Christ refuses to let our sins stand in the way of eternity, as he says in Hebrews 8 and Isaiah 43 and Jeremiah 31 and so on and so on, he says, I will remember your sins no more. You see, God doesn't all of a sudden get spiritual dementia. He chooses not to remember those things because of what Christ has done. And you and I who are in Christ, we can have the strength through the work of the Holy Spirit to choose not to focus on the things of the past and think that that's the way life is always going to be. Paul says, I want you to think of one thing. I want you to focus at the finish line. I want you to focus forward, because if we're going backwards, we can't focus on what's ahead of us. And so many times in our life, we go from spiraling down to spiraling down. It's like a hamster on a wheel. If some of us feel like we can't get off, surely there's more to life than this. Surely there's more to life than this. And my answer to that, yes, there is. You see, forgiveness is the power that Christ gives us to not allow the past to continue to haunt us and hold us back. Forgiveness is not erasing the fact that someone has wronged you, but is the allowance that this particular hurt or pain will not affect us or hold us back any longer. This is the freedom that we talk about. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Some of us cannot get past the past and are clinging to it and are allowing it to hold us back from being used of God. I heard about a man who went to see his doctor, and he said, doctor, you've got to help me. The doctor said, what is wrong? And the man said, I am suffering from amnesia. What do I do about it? The doctor said. He said, just go home and forget about it. Totally missed that one. It's easier said than done, isn't it? You know, I think about my life. And I think even as I go home today, I'm gonna walk back into life. I'm going to walk back into whatever it is when we leave this place. It's the safe place that God's given us. But you say, Brandon, you don't understand what's going on in my life. You don't understand the situation. You don't understand my spouse. She's crazy. He's crazy, all right? I've had these conversations. You don't understand my life. And we dwell on that. And we miss out on living in the freedom that Jesus Christ paid the price for our lives. We allow those things to entangle us. And Jesus says, no, I want you to cast those things. I want to carry those burdens. I want you to run the race and take off the weights. Why do we continue to do that? And I'm speaking from experience because I still struggle with this. It's an ongoing battle in my life. And I will tell you this, if I allow it, it will control me. Just like in your life, if we allow it, it will control us. And we will become ineffective for the kingdom of God. Paul had a divine discontentment. He said, forget what is behind you. Number three, focus on what is in front of you. Verse 13, again, it says, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. One thing I do. You see, one of the things I've had to learn over the years is learn to say no. Learn to say no to some things so that I can say yes to better things. You see, we have a lot of young family with kids, and I get that. I'm right there with you. And our lives are going 100 miles an hour, and we have no downtime. We're going here, we're going there, and our lives are absolutely flying. And I believe the older you get, the faster time goes. Amen. I don't know why, but I believe my mom and dad was like, I'm like, oh my goodness. I must be getting old. I am getting some gray hairs. And we get so spread thin. The thought of focusing on one thing is almost a joke in our lives. Jesus talks about that many times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The story of the rich young ruler. When he came to Jesus and asked him how to receive eternal life, Jesus says, one thing you lack. Luke chapter 10 tells a story of Martha who was arguing, excuse me, can somebody give me some water, please? Was arguing with Mary over what was really important in life. And Jesus said to Martha, only one thing is needed. Thanks, Link. In Psalms 27:4, it says, one thing I have desired of the Lord. So what was that one thing Paul was seeking after? Verse 14. It says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. Let me ask you a question. How has God been calling you? How's God been speaking to you? How's God been challenging you? See, I was studying this week, man. I'm struggling spiritually right now. I'm just going to be honest with you. Last couple of weeks, you know, just been kind of dry. Trying to be faithful, continuing to do, but I've just been dry. You know, I love that God's word says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I'm so thankful it doesn't say, blessed are those who are righteous. Because, man, I'm out. And see, some of us, we've already counted ourselves out because of our past, because of the things that we continue to dabble in over and over again. I am sorry, goodness gracious. Who's wearing that perfume? I'm totally kidding, all right? I'm having an allergic reaction. You see, the Greek word for goal here is skopos, which means to look at. You see, for you and I, in our lives, there's story after story after story of focusing on the things of God. I think of Peter walking in water, focusing on Jesus. He loses focus. He starts to struggle. Here's what I am not saying. I'm not saying that we won't have struggles as Christ followers. What I'm saying is we will have peace and contentment and joy even in the midst of struggles. And some of us, the struggles have got the best of us. What has God called you to? You see, if we are a child of God, God's call is very, very strong in our lives. My question is, for myself as well, am I hearing that? Or the things of this life consumed us so much that we don't have ears to hear. We don't have eyes to see. And we wonder why we're struggling. We wonder why God is so distant. We wonder why we're drained. We wonder why we're not having fun when our kids are playing 72 sports at one time and he just hit a home run and I'm just tired. And we're thankful when our kids don't play a sport that season. That's an answer to prayer for some of us. You can tell where I'm at in my life. You see, Paul said, set the right goals in your life, and not very many of them, and then build your life around reaching those goals. Last point, Paul says, number four, it says, fulfill what is ahead of you. See, this is the tough part. This means we actually have to do something. You're like, man. This means we have to put it into action. This means we have to actually run the race. This means we have to get up and we have to change things. This means we have to start doing things. This means we have to stop doing things. Paul says, I press on. I press on. You see, many of us have been raised to view success as something easy. Our generation doesn't know a whole lot about determination, perseverance, and endurance. We have the attitude today when the boss gets unreasonable, we just quit and find another job. When the subject gets too difficult, we just drop out of class. When our relationship gets too unbearable, we just quit. We leave it. You know, as I think about Paul, he's sitting in prison as he's writing this. And he's just encouraging the fellow believers. He's saying, man, I get it. I have made my mistakes. And if I dwelt on that, man, it would ruin me. If I dwelt on the persecution that I went around the whole world killing people, you're thinking, I'm not that bad. If I dwelt on that, he's understanding this. He goes, I do not have to dwell on this because of what Christ has done. He has freed me from that. So why do we continue to carry the burden that Jesus has already paid? And I ask myself that same question. Paul says, run. He goes on to say, but I don't run like a man beating myself. I don't run aimlessly. I don't run in 1,000 different directions. You're like, that's my life. I run to get the prize. And that prize is eternal life. And that eternal life can start right now in your life. I'm going to ask our worship team to come back up. I'm going to give you a couple things just for you guys just to be praying about for these next few minutes. I want you to be praying for God's direction in your life. You see, some of us this morning, let's just be honest, we're saying, I don't know. And I want you to know it's okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. I want you to be praying for God's direction. I want to encourage you to present yourself before the Lord. It's kind of like signing a contract before the contract's filled out. Some of you are like, uh-uh. I want to know what I'm getting myself into. Anybody else? But God says, you know what? That's my life. I purchased you. God's word says that your life is not your own anymore. But that's good news. That is good news. For some of us, you're like, no, it's not. That is scary. But God wants us to wholeheartedly not hold anything back and say, man, I want to sign the contract. And Lord, whatever it is for me, maybe it's huge changes for me. You see, some of us are fearful of falling after God because our pay might be less. I've been there before. Maybe our status might change. Maybe there's a lot of people who look up to us because of who we are. And so we stay in that fearful, comfortable situation, and we never follow after God in our lives. The next thing I want you to do is I want you to plan the strategy that you might have to get there. You're thinking, Brandon, just like a New Year's resolution, man, I'm gonna buck the system come February. But here's the thing. If we don't have a plan, we don't know where we're going. You say, man, I might mess it all up. Here's the thing. If you mess it up, at least you know where you're going because you've got a plan. You can come back to that and say, man, this is where I left off. Now let's get going again. And the fourth thing, I want to encourage you to put your plan into operation. And then lastly, prepare for discouraging times. Prepare for discouraging times. Because those times will come. When we are pursuing God, when we are running after God, discouraging times will come into our lives. But we have to be very careful when they do. We have to understand where they're coming. We have to understand that we can deflect those to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who can carry those deflections so that you and I can run the race that has been set before us.